KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies and 24 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. And in local news, an Atlantic man was arrested last week on assault charges. The Cass County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday that 23-year-old Joseph Donald Frederickson was arrested on December 29th and charged with two counts of serious assault on a police officer. Frederickson was also charged by Atlantic Police with theft in the fifth degree, interference with official acts, and public intoxication second offense in connection with the events that took place on the 29th. He remains in the Cass County Jail with bond set at $2,500 on all charges. The Sheriff's Department reported also a 17-year-old juvenile was cited into juvenile court on felony charge of possession of the intent to deliver marijuana after his vehicle was stopped on Interstate 80 in Cass County on Saturday. And on Sunday, deputies of the Cass County Sheriff's Office arrested 21-year-old Joshua Brock Edwards of Cumberland on a charge of OWI first offense. Edwards was taken to the Cass County Jail and released later that same day on his own recognizance. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Elsewhere in Southwest Iowa news, a man arrested in Taylor County is lucky to be alive after tests showed his blood alcohol content was 3.5 times the legal limit for intoxication in Iowa. According to the Lenox Police Department, 30-year-old Clint Auger was arrested at around 6:40 p.m. Tuesday after authorities were called to the parking lot of Cheese's grocery store in response to an intoxicated male. Officials say Auger, who refused to provide an address where he lived, was found to be in possession of two half-consumed bottles of vodka. Following a preliminary breath test, which indicated his blood alcohol content was at .298, Auger was arrested and transported to the Taylor County Jail on a charge of public intoxication. The food banks are already dealing with a rise in demand and a drop in donations, but troubles are compounded for the Food Bank for the Heartland. The nonprofit group serving western Iowa and eastern Nebraska was targeted by thieves recently. Spokesman Brian Barks says they recently moved into a new building in Omaha and discovered vandals ripping the air into the air conditioning and heat units at the old building.
It was during the inspection prior to the closing of the building that it was discovered that all the copper had been ripped out of a number of the units on the roof of the building.
Repairing the damage may cost $90,000. Barks says they're hoping insurance will pay for the damage, but they have a backup plan in place.
That money would be going into our endowment fund, but if we do have to pay it out of pocket, that money will be going to pay for the new units.
No arrests have been made. The Food Bank for the Heartland serves 93 counties in Nebraska and Iowa, distributing 9 million pounds of food a year through more than 300 food pantries, emergency shelters, after-school program, senior housing sites, and rehabilitation centers. You can learn more about the charity at www.omahafoodbank.org. The Adair County Board of Supervisors will hold a special session this morning at the courthouse in Greenfield. During the meeting, which starts at 9:30, the board will hear from Cass Adair County Engineer Charles Marker with regard to fiscal year 2013 requests for the Integrated Roadside Vegetation Management Program, road clearing, and weeds. The board will also discuss tax increment financing and local option sales tax projects. And the City Council in Walnut will hold its first meeting of the year this evening. On their agenda are two requests for possible business incentives and discussion with regard to solid waste disposal, the fire department, including a review of fire and ambulance department budgets, the city's housing rehabilitation program, and a recommendation for the replacement of a person on the zoning commission. The Walnut City Council will also hold a review of state audit report, hold discussion about the budget and a review of the library budget, and act on other annual administrative matters. Their meeting begins at 5 p.m. Iowa Congressman Tom Latham on Wednesday commended the U.S. Department of Transportation's decision to award Iowa an emergency relief grant of more than $37.4 million to repair roads damaged by historic flooding in 2011 along the Missouri River. Latham, who's chairman of the House Transportation and HUD Appropriations Subcommittees, announced the grant after Iowa officials filed a request for emergency disaster relief earlier in 2011. Latham said throughout the summer he saw firsthand the flood damage in western Iowa and southwest Iowa and spoke with Iowans whose lives were disrupted by the disaster. He says the flood dealt serious damage to the transportation infrastructure that's critical to the flow of commerce in western Iowa. The emergency relief funding, he says, is absolutely necessary to help repair and rebuild the roads and highways and restore certainty to Iowa's local economies. Well, two state lawmakers are unveiled a plan on Wednesday to raise the state gasoline tax to boost road and bridge repair funds. A bill would increase the tax by 4 cents a gallon each of the next 2 years. Senator Tom Riley, a Democrat from Oskaloosa, said the state has delayed critical road repairs too long.
Actually witnessed my daughter roll her pickup because of...
Basically, what he said was that they've got to constantly kick the can down the road for the last 22, 23 years every time it's gotten tough. O'Reilly says that since 1989, when the gas tax was last adjusted, the buying power of that same 21 cents has been eroded by almost 70%. He says it's a safety issue that he witnessed firsthand.
Actually witnessed my daughter roll her pickup because of the condition of these roads and bridges. I really don't have a problem with paying another $65 a year to ensure the safety of our roads and bridges. Not to mention the $10,000 worth of damage.
Riley is chair in the State Transportation Committee. Representative David Chepke is a Republican from Gowrie, chairs the same committee in the Iowa House.
This legislative initiative will obviously require a bipartisan effort. Senator Riley and I are but two of 150 House and Senate legislators. So the challenge remains great.
The bill would also raise vehicle registration fees for a total tax increase of more than $200 million. Governor Branstad has said now is not the time to raise taxes, and he wants first to look at increasing efficiencies in the Department of Transportation. Chepke says now may be the time to push the issue.
When I was listening to Governor Branstad's initial response, the first word I kept listening for real keenly was the word veto. And he never used that word.
Chepke's and Riley serve on a citizens advisory task force appointed by the governor to identify the urgent needs of Iowa's roads and bridges. The task force reported that Iowa faces a $215 million annual shortfall in revenue to meet what was defined as critical needs on our roads and bridges. The task force recommended an 8 to 10 cent increase in the state's gas tax and applying the state's sales tax and local option taxes to automobiles. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is seeking a man in connection with what authorities say was a firebombing of a Des Moines apartment complex last year. A news release from the ATF office in Kansas City, Missouri, says authorities are looking for 25-year-old Richard Bell, who also goes by the alias Sneak. They say Bell is being sought for his alleged role in the firebombing of the Deer Ridge apartment complex on January 3rd of last year. Special agent in charge of the ATF, J.D. Underwood, says three Molotov cocktails were thrown at a building in the complex. The outside of the building was burned and one of the devices rolled under a car, setting the vehicle on fire. A $1,000 reward is being offered for information on Bell's whereabouts. In national news headlines, there's a positive sign for hiring a day ahead of the release of the December employment report. The number of people seeking unemployment benefits fell further in the final week of 2011. The Labor Department says weekly applications dropped 15,000 to a seasonally adjusted 372,000 last week. It was the fourth drop in 5 weeks. The four-week average declined to 373,250, and that's the lowest level since June of 2008. Many retailers are reporting solid gains for December as they report their results today. Limited Brands, Macy's, and teen retailer The Buckle are posting strong revenue gains that have beaten analyst estimates. Target didn't do as well, though, cutting its earnings outlook after the sales gains were below expectations. And one officer is dead and five others are wounded after authorities say a man opened fire on them when they served a search warrant last night at a home in Ogden, Utah. The suspect was also wounded. Authorities say the officers are anti-drug police. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Raymond Hansen, age 93 of Atlantic, died Sunday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Raymond Hansen will be today at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Wanda Lee Berg, age 78 of Cumberland, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Wanda Berg will be today at 10:30 at the First Evangelical Lutheran Church south of Wyota. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Wilma Dunkerson, age 92 of Fontenelle, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Wilma Dunkerson will be today at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Violet Froome, age 90 of Avoca and formerly of the Omaha and Shelby areas, died Monday in Avoca. Funeral services for Violet Froome will be held today at 10:30 at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby. Amy Rosella Cobalt Leggett, age 90 of Winterset and formerly of Earlham, died Sunday at the Westbridge Care and Rehab Center in Winterset. A graveside service for Amy Cobalt Leggett will be today at 10:30 at the Earlham Cemetery. The Coon Funeral Home, Earlham Chapel, has arrangements. Betty Christensen, age 91 of Exira, died Monday at Creighton University Medical Center. Funeral services for Betty Christensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Columbine Collie Sullivan Verath, age 78 of Greenfield, died Monday at the Westbridge Care and Rehab Center in Winterset. Funeral services for Collie Sullivan Verath will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Emmert Pete Peterson, age 87 of Coon Rapids, died Tuesday at St. Anthony Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Emmert Pete Peterson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Ascension Lutheran Church in Coon Rapids. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home of Coon Rapids has arrangements. Orland Kendall Kane, age 73 of Griswold, died Saturday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Orland Kane will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Max Mackerel, age 76 of Adair, died Monday at the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. Memorial services for Max Mackerel will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has the arrangements. Mervyn Arthur Schaff, age 95 of Harlan, died December 16th. Funeral services for Mervyn Schaff will be held Friday at 11 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Ronald Dean Pilcher, age 71 of Ankeny and formerly of Adair, died Monday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Ron Pilcher will be Friday at 2 o'clock at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Ankeny, with the Ankeny Funeral Home in charge of arrangements. Lila Hall, age 88 of Fontenelle, died Tuesday at the Winterset Care Center North. Memorial services for Lila Hall will be on Friday at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Donald O'Brien, age 81 of Stewart, died Tuesday at the Madison County Memorial Hospital in Winterset. A funeral mass for Donald O'Brien will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Donald Sonny Earlbeck, age 72 of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday at the Manning Regional Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Sonny Earlbeck will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Annunciation Church in Coon Rapids. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home of Coon Rapids has arrangements. Mindy Ann Duckworth Grasty, age 44 of Greenfield, died Saturday. Memorial services for Mindy Duckworth Grasty will be held Saturday at 5 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Daryl J. Spencer, age 68 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Cremation has taken place and no services are planned at this time for Daryl Spencer. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic is assisting the family. And Beulah Nielsen, age 91 of Elkhorn, died Wednesday in Harlan. Services for Beulah Nielsen are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.